Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading this morning is not the one that is in the lectionary book. We're going to take a little turn in this season of Lent, because that's kind of what Lent is all about, is redirecting our hearts and our minds to the cross of Jesus. And so this morning, instead of hearing about the temptation of Jesus, which you will hear later in these weeks of Lent, you heard how God called Moses because God heard the cries of the people. And you heard this gospel, John 8, which is used once a year in another context. Anyone want to take a guess? Reformation Sunday. Every year, you will hear this text, but the parables will be read, and we'll be celebrating Martin Luther. But I want you to hear these words in the season of Lent. In this season of turning toward the cross, in this season when things take on a little bit more somber tone, you notice we sing Kyrie during the season of Lent, not the hymn of praise. We sing Return to the Lord before the gospel reading, and we put the Alleluias away just to focus ourselves on Christ and his cross. So here we have it. Jesus is having a conversation with the Jews who believed in him. And he says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. Either they didn't take their history classes very seriously, or they were suffering from amnesia. But you all know that it takes about a day and a half to read the book of Exodus. We've never been slaves to anybody? Not true. And then, of course, there was Babylon, Assyria, Rome, and a few that probably aren't even recorded. I don't know why they would have responded to Jesus like this. We've never been slaves to anyone. Unless they were just arrogant. And maybe that's a place to start. We've never been slaves to anyone. Have you recognized at some point, I know recovering addicts do this, if you don't recognize that you are enslaved by something, you can't become free of it. The Israelites were miserable in Egypt. They were slaves. And they were crying out to God. Their life was horrible. And when they complained to the Pharaoh about how horrible their life was, he said, well, let's use some less straw in your brick making and see if you get any better with harder work. Less rations. It was a cruel livelihood that the Israelites had. But God heard their cry. I want you to hear those words as clearly as you can. God heard their cry. Because I know that people in this congregation, or your friends or your family, have had reason to cry out, God, where are you? God, why is this happening? God, is there no relief? Perhaps it's an illness, perhaps it's a grief, some other situation in your life. God, free us. Set us free. God hears. That is the good news of our faith, Old Testament or New. God hears the cries of the oppressed. That's good news to the oppressed. That's bad news if we ever side with the oppressors. Because God sides with the oppressed every time. So Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, how do we jump from being free and being disciples to sin? Well, the truth is, and as our Lutheran theology points out, we are in bondage to sin. No matter how much we try to do the most loving thing, be the most loving person, do God's will every day, we end up hurting somebody. We end up putting some kind of a roadblock or a wall between ourselves and God, or ourselves and other people. We say we are in bondage to sin. But there is a remedy to that bondage. That remedy that puts Jesus between our sins and ourselves. Jesus, who took up the cross on our behalf to set us free. If you are my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, this is interesting because it comes from the Gospel of John. And in this chapter, Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's not too far away where Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, what's fun here is that in the Gospel of John, Jesus has all of these wonderful I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am. I am. You know where else we heard some of these words? Back at the very beginning, when God was calling Moses from a burning bush. And Moses is arguing with God. I'm not your guy. I have a speech impediment. I'd say I have laryngitis. I'm not your gal. But Moses says, What should I say when they ask who sent me? Because I'm nobody. And you know the people are going to say, who sent you? Who said, you're going to set us free. And God said, here's my name. I am. I had a college professor that called that the verbiness of God. When God names God's self, it's not a noun. It's not a proper name. It's an on-the-go verb. I am. And you know that you want to fill in the blank after that, right? You can't just say, I am. Who are you? I am. I am what? I am. Because the dot, dot, dot after that is infinite. That's where the church came up with words like omnipotent, omniscient. You can name the omnis. God is omni whatever. But God named God's self, I am. And Jesus filled in the rest of the blanks. Jesus, the light of the world, the bread of life, the way, the truth, the life, the resurrection and the life, names himself, but names himself only in relationship. And praise be to God, he names that in relationship to us, for us. The great I am comes to us in the form of Jesus. Knows all of the things that have us in shackles. And says, I am here to liberate you. I am here. I am. So if you are seeking liberation from anything, cry out to the great I am. And the great I am promises to hear you. And the peace of Christ that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.